Ezra chapter 8, the people who return from exile. This is the list of the heads of the tribes who've been in exile in Babylon and who returned with Ezra when Artaxerxes was the emperor. Then we got this long list and the numbers of people who came back from these various families. But the numbers are not that great at all. And the sad thing is that the majority decided to stay in the easy life in Persia. You remember the book of Esther says that they were all pretty rich, all the Jews. That's why Haman wanted to destroy them all, to take all their money. And so this is the trouble. It's called trial by prosperity. That when you're wealthy and when you've got a soft life, you don't want to respond to the gospel. They were told, flee from Babylon, leave Babylon, come out from among her and be separate, and to go to Jerusalem that was then in ruins and to rebuild it. And they didn't want to do this, most of them. And I think the ones who did go, according to Haggai, went because they hoped that they would get a good life. And so he says, you build your own houses while the house of God is left in ruins. So Ezra says, I assembled all this group by the river that runs by Ahava, and we camped there for 3 days. And there were some priests in the group, but no Levites. So you see, the Levites didn't want to come back. And it was their job to work in the temple. They wanted to just stay there in the soft life when their task was to go and work in the temple. So I sent for some of the Levites, leaders, and I sent them to Iddo, to the community that was at Cassiphia, to ask if they could send us some people to serve God in the temple. And so according to the good hand of our God upon us, they sent us Sherebiah, who was a Levite from the group of Mali, and 18 of his sons and brothers with him, also Hashabiah, Jeshaiah, and 20 of their relatives. And there were another 220 Nethinims who had been ordered by David to assist the Levites, and these were listed by name. So you see, all these years later, thousands of years have gone by since these things happened, God remembers the names of those who did respond. So God's very sensitive when we say yes to him. So there by the river of Ahava, I ordered them all to fast and to humble our souls before our God and to ask him to protect us and our children and our possessions on the journey before us. Because I was ashamed to ask the emperor to give us troops to go with us to guard us, because I told him that our God would be with us and that we trusted in him and that he only punishes those who turn away from him. So we fasted and prayed for God to give us protection, and he replied to our prayers. So they were traveling all that long way. It took them 4 months to do it, from Persia all the way to Judah, to Jerusalem, and they were carrying all these really expensive vessels of gold and silver that had once been in the temple, so robbers could have attacked them. So it was indeed God's grace looking after them. Now you find actually in Nehemiah's time that he does ask for it, and he is given guards to protect him. So you see that you can serve God on different levels. I think Ezra served on a higher level. He said, no, we don't need soldiers to look after us, but Nehemiah did. And yet they all served God in their own way. Some are simply stronger than others in faith. So from among the priests, I chose Sherebiah, Hashabiah, and another 10. And I shared out the silver and the gold of the vessels between them. This is what I gave them, and then he lists it. The silver vessels, the gold vessels, the bowls, the bronze bowls, etc. And I said to them, you are holy to Yahweh, God of your fathers, and so also are all these silver and gold vessels. Guard them carefully until we get to the temple. And then when we come there, we are going to weigh them and give them to the leaders of the priests and the Levites. So the priests and the Levites took responsibility for the silver and the gold vessels to take them to the temple in Jerusalem. It was on the 12th day of the first month that we left the river Ahava to go up to Jerusalem. And our God truly was with us and protected us from all the attacks and ambushes as we travelled. So they did have problems. They were ambushed by robbers, but God protected them somehow. When we arrived in Jerusalem, we rested 3 days. But on the fourth day, we went to the temple and weighed out the silver, gold, and all the vessels and gave them to Merimoth the priest. Everything was counted and weighed, and we made a careful record. So when you're dealing with God's money and with God's wealth, you've got to be very accountable, as you see here. Those who returned from exile brought their offerings to be burnt as burnt offerings to the God of Israel. 12 bulls for all Israel. Now, wait a minute. It was Judah who were in captivity. The 10 tribes were in Assyria and hadn't returned. But they had this hope that all Israel would somehow be gathered, which is what the prophets imply would happen. It didn't, unfortunately, because the 10 tribes generally just mixed in with the people around them and were lost, really, as God's people. All these animals were burnt as sacrifices to Yahweh, and they also took the letters which the emperor had given them, and they showed it to all the officials of the various provinces to the west of the river Euphrates, and they then gave to the people and the temple whatever was needed. So, as I say, as we saw really on chapter 7, God gave them everything they needed. God will give you the resources to do his work. It doesn't mean he'll give you money in your pocket necessarily, but he will give you what's needed if you want to do God's work. And the main thing is to desire to want to serve him.